I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events, major elections, world wars, scientific breakthroughs. But we also bring you into the smaller, behind-the-scenes stories, the unsung heroes, secret meetings, even personal grudges that changed the course of history. Listen to and follow History This Week, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with the History Channel. Available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, Northeast Pennsylvania, it's Rob O'Donnell here on WILK News Radio. 103.1 FM, 910, 980 AM, or anywhere on that free Odyssey app. It is 308, 84 degrees on this Thursday, June 12th, 2025. Never fails, you know, I get a schedule together of what I want to talk with, research it, do everything. And then the last hour, our media stream hits the wall with some new stuff going on. That's, I guess this day and age, not surprising, but either way, it's something else. A little word on the Odyssey app. I know we've been having some problems with it the past couple of days. I still wasn't able to get on even today, even though they're saying it was fixed. Some people are having the same problem. I needed to delete the app altogether from my phone, reinstall the app on my phone, and then re-register and do all that sort of thing. And it's working fine now. So no matter what I did, I cleared my cache. I turned the phone totally off and restarted it. Didn't work. I still got the error message with the Odyssey app. I had to delete the app altogether, reinstall it, and it was working fine. So if you're still having issues, and some people didn't have to do that, so I don't know really what the problem is. Maybe it's certain versions of iPhone. I don't know. I know people who had iPhones that it started working just fine again. But for me, as of this morning, I had to delete the app altogether, reinstall it, and now it's working fine. So if you're still unable to get the Odyssey app, that's probably your last resort you need to do. Delete the app altogether, reinstall it, and then you should be good to go. So a couple of things happening. Secretary of Homeland Security Kristi Noem was having, about an hour ago, was having a press conference in Washington, and Senator Alex Padilla of California, United States Senator, stormed into the press conference and started interrupting the press conference, yelling at the secretary, you know, the questions he wanted answered at that time. He was rapidly escorted out of the room physically by Department of Homeland Security and FBI personnel. He was taken out of the press conference into the hallway. He was placed in the ground. His hands were put behind his back, and he was arrested. Listen, there's a time and place for this, but you just can't storm in and think you're a senator and you deserve to interrupt a press conference that's ongoing where people are there to get answers, no matter what your title is. And hopefully the charges stay because no doubt should be arrested. He did not resist. He was compliant with law enforcement. He did push on law enforcement and refused to get removed from the room. But other than that, he never put his hands on them. He just made them forcibly remove him from the room, and he was using his body weight to push himself forward while he was yelling at the secretary during the press conference. I've shared the video. It's being shared on social media all over the place. It seems to be one of the hot topics right now. Senator Chuck Schumer, I guess, saw the same video that I saw and went to the Senate floor to tell the entire Senate that he just saw a video that was utterly disgusting and he wants answers. Well, I'll give you answers. Your entitled performative senator from the state of California thought he was entitled, could go in and do what he wants, and was rapidly informed that, no, he cannot do what he wants. There are rules, there are protocols, and you just can't come into a press conference and start yelling at the Secretary of Homeland Security because you feel like you can because you're a senator. So we'll see where this goes from here. The videos out there, I have shared both that and Chuck Schumer's demanding answers on my Facebook page, so you could see it there. You also had today the Brevard County, Florida sheriff. There have been peaceful protests in other areas of the United States. Anywhere we're seeing trouble, Portland, Chicago, New York, San Antonio, Texas, and L.A., well, what do they have in common as far as who runs those cities? And that's where we've seen the violence. That's where we've seen these things get out of hand. It's where we've seen damage, some places worse than others. You know, New York and L.A. seem to be the two biggest at this point. There are protests happening in parts of Florida. Well, the Brevard County Sheriff, and if you're not familiar with Brevard County, it's just north of Broward County. It's east. It's Cocoa Beach. It's the Space Coast. It's that area just north of Fort Lauderdale, you know, to the east of the Orlando area there, Stewart and places like that. So that's where this sheriff is from. And he is the chief law enforcement for that county. In Florida, the sheriffs are the chief law enforcement officers for the county. Some cities have their own police departments. But the county is the widespread county police force there. Well, he put people on notice if they want to test the line between peaceful protesting and riots. And I'm going to play that for you because it was pretty direct and pretty blunt. But nothing he said was legally incorrect. So I want you to take a listen.
So I'm gonna break it down for you, all right? And if somebody wants to know what I mean by turn violent, all right, this is what I mean. If you resist lawful orders, you're going to jail. Let me be very clear about that. If you block an intersection or a roadway in Brevard County, you are going to jail. If you flee arrest, you're going to go to jail tired because we are going to run you down and put you in jail. If you try to mob rule a car in Brevard County, gathering around it, refusing to let the driver leave, in our county, you're most likely going to get run over and dragged across the street. If you spit on us, you're going to the hospital and in jail. If you hit one of us, you're going to the hospital and jail and most likely get bitten by one of our big, beautiful dogs that we have here. If you throw a brick, a firebomb, or point a gun at one of our deputies, we will be notifying your family where to collect your remains at. Because we will kill you graveyard dead. We're not going to play. This has got to stop. You're watching what's taking place out there. You're seeing police officers that are being attacked, being spit on, being put in harm's way just for doing their jobs. You're seeing ICE agents that are being targeted for doing their jobs. And you're seeing obstructionists that are doing all of this standing in the way of law and order.
So that was the Brevard County Sheriff, Wayne Ivey, in a press conference today in his county, along with the county leadership, with the district attorney for the county, and members of his police force there, putting the community on notice. If you are coming to his county to cause trouble and not just protest peacefully, you're on notice. We'll see where it goes from here. Listen. You will have some say, oh my God, I can't believe he said those things. I can't believe he made those threats. Those aren't threats. Nothing he said was legally insufficient. Can you be a punching bag for the public? Sure you can. We've seen it in LA. We see it in New York. We see it in Chicago. We see it in Baltimore. We see it in Philadelphia. Should you be? Absolutely not. Does the law mandate you to be? No, it doesn't. The law gives you a standard of force, an escalation of force, and if you can articulate that there's threats, that you are in the process of being assaulted, then you have the right to defend yourselves and not become a victim first. Same thing as if you are a pedestrian and you're driving in your car with your children and a mob surrounds your car, you have the ability to defend yourselves. You should not just sit there and let them smash your windows in or rock your car back and forth and terrorize you and your children. We have come to a sense in society where these things are okay, and they're not. And it's about time, and it's refreshing to see someone say it's absolutely not. Hopefully more follow suit, because I promise you, you won't see issues in Brevard County, Florida. I promise you, you won't see issues in cities and municipalities and areas where this is zero tolerance for violence. You want to peacefully protest? Listen, we have peaceful protests here in our area all the time. And as long as they remain that, that's just fine. Have at it. Have your voice heard. Make your peace and give your stance to the public as much as you want. But if you're going to terrorize people, if you're going to inconvenience people, if you're going to block the free flow of pedestrian and vehicular traffic, you're no longer peacefully protesting. So I didn't want to start on that, but these are two incidents that just kind of happened in the past hour when we were coming in here. Because, listen, there are more pressing issues that I think are on our horizon. And one of them I did touch on yesterday, where there was the word getting out that non-essential personnel was being evacuated from embassies within striking distance of Iran, and that dependents and non-essential personnel for our bases within striking distance of Iran have been told to start making preparations to leave. Well, that's now official. The U.S. has ordered non-essential staffers to leave the Baghdad embassy as tensions rise. Trump adds it could be a dangerous place. There is a lot of information and chatter out there that Israel is in its final plans to strike Iran's nuclear capabilities. Iran has said that if nuclear talks fail with the U.S. and they are targeted by any nation, they will target U.S. interests, embassies, and military bases. That's a threat of war. It's just as simple as that. So where we're at now, I don't know. I don't think this will be a U.S.-initiated offensive, but they are not moving thousands of personnel at the cost of who knows what. Now, a lot of these places like Kuwait, like Iraq, Baghdad, and such like that, anywhere within striking distance, the embassies have told to come up with plans and have your non-essential personnel start to make plans to leave. Now, where this goes, hopefully this is just hyperbole. Hopefully this is just negotiating tactics to get Iran to come to some sort of peaceful conclusion. All talks as far as the negotiations as far as their nuclear program have come to a cease at this point from all parties involved saying it. It's a dangerous place. Listen, is Iran an existential threat to us here in the United States? No. But are they to our interests there? And it's interesting because I even got into it with some Republican pundits today where they said, you know, Iran really is no threat to us whatsoever. Well, yeah, they kind of are. They've been supplying those who've been shooting missiles at our men and women in our military on a daily basis for the over the past year. So they may not be directly involved, but are they involved? They absolutely are. Now, does that mean we go to nuclear war with them, or do we strike their nuclear capabilities? Quite honestly, I think we could obliterate their nuclear capabilities within hours with very little resistance or recourse from Iran. But is it a good thing for the Middle East? Is it a good thing for us? Is it a good thing for the world? No. So hopefully a peaceful resolution could be found, if that's even capable at this point, because it wouldn't be good for a lot of reasons. And one of them being it's just not something the average everyday American needs on their plate at this time. There's enough turmoil. There's enough tension. There's enough going on to where this doesn't need to be added to that plate. But you also just can't let Iran make threats and do whatever they want either. And if we're involved or not, we will be on the peripheral of anything that happens. So this, the chatter started happening yesterday that these plans were happening. They became more official today. It's hard to decipher what's coming out of the Middle East. I've spoken to some contacts there because there's a lot of people, even in the Middle East, countries that neighbor Iran that want to see Iran's capabilities removed. But they don't want to be involved in doing it. But they wouldn't be sad if it happens. And there's people that's stoking this should happen. And then there's the people more realistically saying, well, listen, any kind of war, even with a terrorist organization like the nation of Iran, is bad for the world. But so's them being the primary funder of terrorism around the world. So that balancing act hopefully finds the needle more towards a more peaceful solution than waking up one day and finding out that Iran's nuclear facilities are in shambles and smoldering, because that's just not good for anyone. It's 3:22 here at WILK. We'll be back with the Rob O'Donnell Show. Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show. Just got a text message that the Valley View girls softball has won their third state title. 6-0 final. Congratulations. Valley View girls softball, great way to show the state. NEPA is in the house. I saw that the local law enforcement and fire department sent them off this morning. with the lights and sirens onto the highways. Great job, girls. 6-0 final. Valley View girls win their third state title in softball. So great news coming out of our area for that. Something else yesterday is kind of flew under the radar. I guess some people knew about it, but most didn't. Governor Josh Shapiro addressed West Scranton High School's graduation yesterday. And listen, that's great for our area. It's great for West Scranton. He told the West Scranton High School class of 2025 to choose their own path and explained how his administration work helped make their success possible. So he couldn't just give the girls and boys, the young men and young women of West Scranton High School kudos for getting to this milestone of graduation of high school and congratulating them on the best. He had to say that he explained how his administration worked to help make their success possible. It's always about him now, isn't it? So is that a commencement speech? Is that here to say, hey, girls, guys, you did a great job. You hit this milestone. Hopefully you have the tools now to go on and do something. Strive for the stars. Do something great. If you don't follow traditional means, which is kind of a skewed term these days, because I think that the trades are the most traditional path that this nation has. But whatever your choice, be it military, be it going right into the workforce, being going into the trades, going to, you know, higher education, increase your skill set, be well to each other and move forward. But nope, it was how his administration worked to help make their success possible. Not them, not their teachers, his administration. It just goes to show you where the mind's at with these things. And listen, that's even the first sentence in the article that the Times Tribune did from Christine Lee, who covered the event. The governor delivered remarks before 338 graduating seniors, along with family.
Looking for something smart, soulful, and full of heart? I'm Jen Hatmaker, host of For the Love, the podcast where we talk about what really matters, love and family, faith and purpose. Every week, I'm joined by incredible guests for honest conversations that invite all of us to live with more intention, more laughter, and more connection. Join us on For the Love wherever you get your podcasts.
Members, friends, teachers, Scranton School District administrators, and school directors, Wednesday night at Lackawanna College Student Union, Building Up Scranton. He began his remarks by acknowledging the journey the graduates took to receive their diplomas, one in which they began high school taking classes online during COVID-19 pandemic. Along the way, I know there have been ups and there have been some downs, Shapiro said, but I also know that each and every one of you are stronger for the journey. Are we really? Are any of us stronger because of COVID-19? I think we learned a lot of lessons. I think stronger would be a bad word. I think we learned a lot about government overreach. I think we learned about who we trust in the supposed medical fields and the authorities, be it whoever that be, school board members, administrators, unions, and the government. But it was good to see him in our area speaking to the individuals. But of course, you know, he gets into how his administration has increased funding for public education and that it was his administration that helped them along the way. Of course it is. Of course it is, Governor. It doesn't look like much happened to the Senator Padilla from California for storming in and interrupting the press conference because he just gave a press conference of his own out in front of the building. So if he got a ticket or something, maybe, but it doesn't look like much happened at all here. It is 3:31 here at WILK. It's time for the news with Paul Michaels. Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show on WILK News Radio. I was just able to watch Senator Padilla's press conference after being, well, what he says he wasn't detained, but after being placed in the ground and handcuffed. He said he was not arrested nor detained. He said he was just simply trying to peacefully ask questions. You look at the video and you decide that for yourself. But he says he was not arrested nor detained. But in the video, you clearly see him being placed on his stomach on the ground, handcuffed. And the video cuts after that. So, but again, that morphed definition of peaceful when it comes to Democrats. You watch the video and describe for yourself. Is that peaceful? If someone was pushing up against you with their body weight, is that peaceful? I mean, I know how I'd react, but use your own judgment. That's why we're here to discuss these things. Governor Josh Shapiro did recently today put out a statement in regards to planned protests here in Pennsylvania this weekend. We have that No Kings. It's being it's being touted by the heiress of Walmart. It's being touted by Randy Weingarten, sent out an email to all her members in a teachers union. So you kind of get the gist, don't you? And Governor Josh Shapiro put out this statement. The right to peacefully protest and exercise our First Amendment is sacred American right. And here in Pennsylvania, we will always protect it. And at the same time, we will always remain focused on keeping our community safe and ensuring all demonstrations remain peaceful. As governor, I will stand in defense of this constitutional right and work to ensure all Pennsylvanians can exercise it safely and peacefully. With demonstrations and protests planned across Pennsylvania this weekend, I want to be very clear. All protests and demonstrations must remain peaceful, lawful, and orderly. Violence is not the answer to any political differences. Destruction and chaos are unacceptable, and neither will be permitted here in Pennsylvania. My administration is coordinating with the Parker administration in Philadelphia and local officials and law enforcement all across the Commonwealth to make sure that demonstrations this weekend are lawful and peaceful. Colonel Paris and the Pennsylvania State Police are working closely with local police departments to ensure they have the resources and support they need. Together, we are prepared to keep our communities safe while protecting Pennsylvania's fundamental rights. And we will be working around the clock to ensure both the rights of protesters and the well-being of our cities and towns are protected. As long as I'm your governor, I will continue to work every day to protect our freedom and keep our communities safe. Here in the Commonwealth, William Penn founded on the premise that it would be welcoming to people from all walks of life and can and must do both. Governor Josh Shapiro. And that's the statement he put out. We'll see if he feels the same when if and when roads are blocked and people are inconvenienced and, you know, stopped from their pedestrian vehicular traffic. I don't expect much here. I expect peaceful protests here. They are planned in Scranton, Wilkes-Barre, and a couple other places in our area. And they have been peaceful in the past. Hopefully that's the case. Voice your opinion. Have your voice heard peacefully without obstructing others. It's as simple as that. It's not hard. But you know, we've seen that more than not. On the other hand, what I say here about locally, that I do expect peaceful protest here in our area, I cannot say the same for possibly Philadelphia. Hopefully I'm wrong. I want to be wrong. But if we look as across other cities that have gone the other way, and make no mistake, these are organized, not the peaceful protest. They're organized too. You know, they, like I said, an email went out from Randy Weingarten to her entire membership. The NEA put out a email to their membership. The SEIU put out an email to their membership. So these are organized protests, but you do have that entity that wants to cause chaos. They embed themselves, they hijack these events. And you cannot be blind to that. You cannot say, well, we were here, you know, 94% of us were peaceful and here for a different reason. Well, I'm sorry. If you let the 6% hijack it, it's fine. You got no problem when a bad apple brings a blue line flag to something, or the Gadsden flag or the Don't Tread on Me flag, and saying, oh, this is a terrorist sign. You have no problem saying that when it's used by a small minority, because then the whole thing needs to be bad. But when it's the other way around, it's like, no, these are 96% peaceful. It's that 4% that were causing trouble. We have nothing to do with them. Well, I don't know. If I was having an event at my house, or if I was having an event in my yard and 2% of the people at that event were causing the problem, I think I would handle it before I needed law enforcement. So you can't turn a blind eye when it goes bad at your event. Handle your event then. Handle it yourself. This way, hopefully, law enforcement doesn't need to get involved, because they're getting stuck in the middle of this, and all they're doing is enforcing the laws that our government passes. It's 3:42 here at WILK. Oh, it's time for the NEPA Premium Perks. Maybe this will help us all out. We get people from different backgrounds, different parties, and put them in the breakout escape room. Have them make them work together. Enjoy this half-off deal for the breakout escape room. Let the rain pour outside while you enjoy a great deal inside with a buy one, get one free for $24. That's two tickets for the price of one. Save for a rainy day with friends and family while solving one of the immersive escape rooms. Rooms to choose from include Rewind Time, Back to the 2000s, Brand New Room, The Lost, Last Chance Saloon, Mission Colossal, or Freak Show. Located at 618 Blackman Street in Wilkes-Barre, visit GetMyPerks.com for all the details. Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show on WILK News Radio, 347. Seeing on the news now, tensions rise in the Middle East in regards to Iran, so we will see what's happening there. Something we're monitoring. President was asked how imminent a strike on from Israel on Iran was. And he said it's a dangerous area. So read into that if you want. I'll take it on its face value. The Luzerne County Arena Authority awaits appraisal on a parcel of land before negotiations can resume on a sale. Now, we've talked about this when it was just being discussed. Following a 15-minute executive session yesterday, the Luzerne County Convention Authority said negotiations are continuing on the sale of a 7-parcel that would bring another hotel to the area. Authority board chair said the authority's solicitor said an appraisal of the property should be complete within a week. Then negotiations would resume with Sonny Singh of ONVB regarding his request to purchase the land from the Arena Authority and build a second hotel. Singh built the Residence Inn, extended stay hotel, 4 years ago, and this parcel adjoins that site. The authority has stated in hopes to get at least $1 million for the property. This is a good thing for that area. And if the developer already has a hotel and it's doing good and wants to build a second hotel, that's good for us. It's always good for our area. There's an event there that has great things from hockey to the concerts to the things for kids with the Disney on Ice and the monster trucks and everything else that comes through there, wrestling. A whole bunch of stuff comes through the arena. Places to stay there is a good thing. I mean, you go there and you want to, you know, tailgate early and hang out and go to an event and maybe, you know, hit the hotel right there within walking distance after. That's even a great thing for our area locally. You know, if you're planning to go there with friends and make it an evening, not have to worry about Uber or designated driver, you just stay in a hotel there. You know, we've done it in other places. Why not do it here in our backyard? So it's something we're going to keep an eye on. But more hotels for that area where they can have more and bigger events is always a good thing. So we'll see where it goes and monitor it. It's coming up on 350 here at WILK News Radio, the Bloomberg Money Minute. Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show on WILK News Radio, 353, 82 degrees on this Thursday, June 12th, 2025. Of course, all the chirping heads in politics are chiming in. Mayor Karen Bass, mayor of Los Angeles, just posted a video of the interaction with Senator Padilla as he crashed the live press conference with the Secretary of Homeland Security, Kristi Noem. She said, "What just happened to Senator Alex Padilla is absolutely abhorrent and outrageous. He is a sitting United States senator. This administration, violent attacks on our city must end." Well, the Department of Homeland Security official X page said Senator Padilla chose disrespectful political theater and interrupted a live press conference without identifying himself or having his Senate security pin on as he lunged towards Secretary Noem. Mr. Padilla was told repeatedly to back away and did not comply with officers' repeated commands. Secret Service thought he was an attacker, and officers acted appropriately. Secretary Noem met with Senator Padilla after and held a 15-minute meeting. And for those of you that don't know, that Senate security pin, there's also a congressional pin that they have to wear to be on the floor, and it identifies them at events and anywhere. It's similar to the Secret Service pin that they all wear on their lapels, and it changes on a daily basis. It changes by what assignments you have as well to let you know where, in fact, you know, how close to the primaries you should be. It is a very important thing, and I've seen it work in action just recently, where I've seen a congressional pin get identified by a general very quickly, and it was interesting to see that interaction because you figure you're a general, especially in military circles, you can pretty much throw your weight around everywhere until you turn around and see a Senate or congressional pin there. And then all of a sudden you watch a general get humbled real quick. It's quite something to see. So that's the interaction, of course, Mayor Karen Bass. This whole thing from the senator of California was performative. It was no doubt. The video that's being played everywhere was from his staffer. So he went into this press conference yelling at the secretary, approaching her without a Senate security pin on, as he was getting removed. As he was getting removed, he said that he was a senator. But his staffer was videoed the entire time. So they did this on purpose. This was performative. This was to get the reaction that they got, to get people like Mayor Karen Bass and Chuck Schumer to jump up and say, this is abhorrent and outrageous behavior. Well, you should tell that to your senator who stormed into a press conference, interrupted a live conference. While there's an ongoing crisis situation in L.A. and the Secretary of Homeland Security is dealing with it, we have our military there, both active duty and reserves involved at this point. And it was for performance. That's what it was. And the mere fact that he was not arrested, the mere fact that they had a meeting after the fact and he's having a press conference or had a press conference right outside of the building. And this took place in L.A., not D.C. like I originally thought. Just goes to show that, listen, there's no punishment. There's no recourse. They got their clicks on social media. Both sides are going to say, oh, look, this person was mistreated. Others will say, look at this person, you know, creating the situation. And in the meantime, you or I are still arguing about it, and you still have our military, our law enforcement, our federal agents in the middle getting pummeled by both sides. That doesn't fix any problem. So, we'll see. You also had yesterday a small portion of bipartisan gamesmanship. The Republicans, though, clobbered the Democrats in the congressional baseball game for the fifth year straight. The GOP's 13-2 win over the Democrats in Nationals Park marks the fifth straight year Republicans have defeated their political rivals on the diamond. If you've never been to a congressional baseball game, I highly recommend it. You will have a different view of our politicians. Hey, listen, they're not many of them are very good athletes. If you're going to see a really outrageous, outstanding baseball game, that's not your place to go. But it's one of the few places you'll get them to see them kind of put politics aside and partisanship aside, and you kind of have a good time. And I think we should see more of this from our politicians. I think this is the light. It was televised. I did watch it last night. I do have friends who were there who were posting pictures of, you know, who was sitting around them, the who's who. You know, Nancy Pelosi did visit the dugout of the Democrats, obviously not playing. But if you have the opportunity, I highly recommend you go to this game. It will you'll walk away with a different view of our politicians. However brief. But the mere fact that I've been to this game and, you know, just watching it last night and watching both sides have a good time and kind of rib each other and, you know, the sports, that was the focus here. A lot of them at this point don't like each other, and that's a shame because it hasn't been like that in the past. Yes, they've had their battles on the floors. Yes, their staffs have gone at it to get legislation passed. But at the end of the day, they liked each other. And the past decade or two, we've kind of strayed away from that. But this is one of the brief glimpses where it's kind of forgotten about. And I don't know if it's the camaraderie of sports or whatever dynamic makes this different. But, I highly suggest because, again, I've been to one game and it changed my view about how they truly see each other or are able to see each other. But, for the fifth year in a row, the GOP beat 13-2. And but it was a good fun thing to see. And it's not a bad game to watch. Listen, I'm not a big baseball fan, but I like watching, our local AAA team, more than I do the pros, just for the same reason as they do it from a different depth. They're not doing it for a paycheck. They're not doing it for notoriety. They're not doing it. They're doing it because they love the sport at this game. They're trying to get somewhere, and they're doing their best to do it. So I highly recommend it if you can check one of these games out one day. And it's in a great place. They raised a few million dollars for a bunch of local charities. It's a 4 o'clock here at WILK. We'll be back.
The Second World War is the largest event in human history.
A 20-part series with Tom Hanks.
No part of the globe was untouched. No life unchanged.
Experience the ultimate account of World War II.
Every single person had a story. These are the stories that make us who we are.
Listen to World War II with Tom Hanks on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.